They said someday you will find all who love are blind.
KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. This program is supported by listeners like you and Lava.net. Thank you so much, Lava.net. Thank you, Carmen, for an amazing show. Coming up, we have Coming Alive with Camille and Rick, and special guest today, beloved internationally known jazz saxophonist Dave Kaas.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Everyone, this is Coming Alive with Camille and Rick, and through the Guided Call-In Radio with our special guest Dave Kaas today, and we're going to take off right now with one of his favorite songs, The Dance, sung by B.B. Wyman and written by Tony Arata.
Could I have known that that you'd ever say goodbye. And now I'm glad I didn't know the way it all would end, the way it all would go. Our lives are better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, I'd have had to miss the dance, the dance. I would have missed the dance, the dance. I would have missed the dance holding you. I held everything for a moment. I'd only know how the king would fall. Hey, who's to say you know? I might have changed.
Yes, my life is better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I would have missed the dance. Very beautiful, heartfelt words. Thank you so much. And we have, this is Coming Alive with Camille and Rick, and today, Coming Alive with Camille and Rick and Dave, we have our special guest with us, Dave Koz, internationally loved saxophonist and composer. And by the way, that of course was Dave on saxophone on that song. So welcome, Dave. E como mai?
Thank you so much, and it's great to talk with you both. Thank you very, very much for being so generous with your airwaves and let me be part of your show.
Well, of course, we're very blessed, and thank you so much for being on with us.
It's great.
You have a new CD coming out on Tuesday called Hello Tomorrow on Concord Records.
I do.
And we're very excited to be able to play some music from that today. And congratulations on that beautiful CD. And you have, well, first of all, I want to say our theme for the show today is Awakening the Soul. Music takes you where words can't. And
that's a direct quote from Dave.
I didn't know you were taking notes.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, well, that's I do believe that. Absolutely. 100% believe that.
But yes.
This new album, by the way, has a real Hawaii connection, and specifically a Kauai connection, as you both know. And so it's kind of, it's so nice that this comes full circle. I'm back at home in Los Angeles now, but a little bit of me will always be in Kauai because of the time that I came and the time that I met you guys. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Lucky us. Well,
yeah, that's very sweet. And you had told Camille and I that this new album, Hello Tomorrow, really came from a new place inside of you that you were opening up to. And I think our audience would love to, and I would love to hear you talk more about that, how that is for you personally, and what that experience was for you.
Well, I think what was happening with me in my own life is happening for a great many souls on the planet right now, which is kind of dealing with a lot of sort of unprecedented amounts of change in ways that we've not seen. Like, every era always talks about the change, you know, mm-hmm. and how much this is the era of the most change. But I don't know. I mean, I'm 47, so I haven't experienced too many different eras, but it just seems like what we're experiencing right now is a velocity and frequency of change that is, the acceleration just seems so much greater than it has in the past. And I think a lot of people are kind of looking at their lives right now in 2010 and realizing, wow, it's sort of hitting all of us. Wow, this looks a lot different than I may have thought it would look at this point in time. So how do you deal with that? And how do you deal with the roller coaster of change and how your life is different than you thought it would be? I think there's a lot of people that have just simply checked out, and there's some people that are anesthetizing themselves. And for me, I was dealing with being around for 20 years in my chosen profession. Everything had changed. My business, the music business, had changed so much. I was signed to a brand new label, working with new producers and new musicians and new music, and everything was new. Everything around me, and also personally too, there was so much dramatic change in my life too. So I was kind of at that same jumping off point of like, how am I going to handle all this?
Mm-hmm.
And I used the music. I kind of wrote some songs, so I wrote through a lot of those feelings, and then I recorded through it as well. And when I got to the other end, the other side of it, I looked at what had been created. In many ways, I feel like I wasn't even a part of it, that it had manifested almost through me, that this was a much larger message, a much larger potential healing for a lot of people than I could have done on my own. So I think I had the ultimate collaborator on this project. And when I listen to the music, people say, well, you play the saxophone. How are you able to get that emotion of embracing change and facing your fears and embracing that discomfort zone? How are you able to get that out through a saxophone on a bunch of songs?
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, I have no idea, but I think it's in there.
You know, yeah. I love that. This is perfect inroads for me to a question that I had for you. Because you have shared with us, and you're sharing now with the audience, a certain awareness level and kind of knowing that there's a force working with you, I want to know, what is your earliest memory of having an awareness of God?
Well, I grew up in a Jewish household, so God was a term that we heard quite a bit, and I was bar mitzvahed, so I heard it a lot growing up. And I think that my mom was a believer. My dad was a doctor and a scientist, and he liked to read books that examined how to prove or disprove that God existed, and that was just kind of the person that he was. But it really wasn't until when my dad passed away, which is now about 13 years ago, that I started to examine spirituality for myself. And it really had very little to do with Judaism, and a lot more to do with just certain people that I met along the way, teachers and books that I read, and people like you and Rick that I would meet along my path. All of a sudden, these people would just, I'd stumble upon these people that I didn't realize what they were in my life, and they, in the end, I recognized that these were all individual teachers for me that got me from point A to point B and then to point C. But I didn't recognize it at the time, but I think that the first time that, now in retrospect, I could say that God showed up in my music from the first day that I picked up the saxophone. It was not the first instrument that I played. I was a piano player. My mom forced us to take piano. I hated it. And then to rebel, I picked up the drums when I was about 10 years old. And I remember my dad coming to pick me up from a drum lesson one time, and the drum teacher taking him aside, within earshot of me, by the way, and saying, "You might want to think about sports for Dave, because the drumming thing is not going to work." So at 13, I picked up the sax for the first time, and I remember what that felt like. It was like the connection to an instrument, and I was a very awkward kid. I was dealing with a lot of very complex issues that I had no way to deal with them. I couldn't talk to anybody. You know, I was a gay kid, so I was growing up having these feelings and without having any outlet for them. You're a stranger in your own family, you know, and right now this is such a hotbed issue in the United States with so many of these kids now still in 2010. Now, this is going back to 1976 when I was 13. That's one thing, but in 2010, for young kids to be killing themselves because they're gay, it's just not—it's not acceptable to me. But at the time when I was growing up, 13 and gay and not knowing what to do, the saxophone became my best friend, and I could put all the emotions that I was dealing with and had no way to categorize them or put them into words, I could just channel it through that horn. So it was a huge, it saved my life, actually, in a lot of ways. Finding the saxophone, for me, saved my life.
Wow. Gee whiz. So you have this consciousness of this spiritual journey, and when did you notice that it was becoming a certain awareness in a more mature level where it started really merging consciously with your music? How did that work for you in terms of your music was already saving your life? And it was a natural, organic evolution as the answer to something very deep inside of you. Then when did you notice that there was an awareness that there was a spiritual actual path and that you were bringing your music into that? And, like, where did those awarenesses start becoming in collusion with each other?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I would say that because I had multiple paths going on at the same time, like when I was in junior high and high school, and when I went to college, I went to UCLA, and I was a mass communications major, and all the while I was playing on the side, but I wasn't sure that by any stretch of the imagination that music would be my career. In fact, I thought I'm going to go to college and get a real degree because I was thinking that would likely be my degree. Mm-hmm. But I remember telling my parents, it's funny, I'm talking a lot about my folks here today, and not coincidentally, I might add, but I remember at my graduation, college graduation, them looking at me and saying in a very Jewish way, "So, new, what are you going to do?" I had no plans, no job, no nothing, and I said, "I'm going to take 6 months to see how the music thing works out. Let me just take 6 months, and we'll go from there." And they said, "Fine," and they were very supportive.
Great.
So I remember going through that 6 months, and a friend of mine calls this divine choreography. One thing just sort of led to the next. It was meeting one person who led me to the next person, who led me to the next person. All of a sudden, I was playing in a group with this guy who was a very popular singer named Bobby Caldwell. And mm-hmm. Bobby was so generous with the stage. I got the gig in his band, and a bunch of people saw me play in his band. And then I got a call from a guy named Jeff Lorber, who was a very famous keyboardist. I auditioned for his band. I got the gig. I started playing with him. He said, "I think you should be a recording artist." And I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?" And then he said, "I'm going to get you a record deal, and we're going to write some songs, and we're going to get you signed." And sure enough, you know, within that year, I got signed to Capitol Records by a man named Bruce Lundvall. And then I recorded my first album, and the first album came out. And again, it was just like an opportunity, and then something else happened. So this was all not my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually tell you that this is not a plan. I didn't have any master plan. I didn't seek any of this out. It just sort of fell into my lap. It was a combination of opportunity with true desire and passion for what I do. I mean, I really love what I do. And also being able to communicate on some level that connected to people. So...
Mm-hmm.
I look at it now. This is the new album that you talked about, Hello Tomorrow, which is really a turning of a page to a new chapter of my life. It comes out, and we didn't plan on this at all, but it's really to the week 20 years after my debut album came out.
Wow.
So seriously, this week I'm scratching my head, pinching myself, going, first of all, did the last 20 years go? It was a bit of a dream. And how am I still here making music? Because in our very fickle, media-savvy world, where everybody is just, you know, it's a consumption type of a world we live in, where you chew something up and then you're on to the next bite. I've had a career that is really a full... it's a three-course meal, and I'm on dessert now.
I hope the dessert lasts a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say a three-course dessert. Maybe.
Yeah, there's dessert, and then there's coffee, and then there's cheese.
Yeah.
So.
And fruit. Oh yes. Okay.
Well, so a question arises when you're telling how your story just unfolded and these opportunities just came to you. And you said that it wasn't your plan, but you did mention the deep, strong desire that you had. So if somebody came to you and said, "Well, how do I make something like that happen in my life? How do I create something like that for me?" Would you be able to offer any insight?
Well, yeah, because I think we're all gifted with our own attributes, every single person on this planet. And even if you are the guy who takes the money at the toll booth, we see it. I one of the things that I love to do is travel, and I get the great privilege, good fortune of traveling the world for what I do for a living, and getting a chance to see other cultures. And one thing that we don't really have as much as the rest of the world has is that pride of ownership in whatever job you're doing, like they have in Japan, for example, or in some places in South America. Far East as well. It's just it, whatever job you have, there's like passion for how that fits into the overall fabric and tapestry of life. And every job is important. There's no one job that's more important than the next. We have a little hierarchy here in the U.S. that I think is unfortunate. We feel like some jobs are more important than others. Mm. And so what I would say to answer your question is, whomever's asking the question, what is it that you are good at? And what is it that you love and that you can wake up in the morning and feel passionate about? And if that's something that you can do for your living, then that's when it all meets the Dharma, if you will. So it's something that you're good at, that you're passionate about, that has some sort of societal purpose, and it doesn't have to be these big, huge purposes. It could be just a very small thing, which is giving the tickets out at the toll booth, but you're doing it with a smile and you're doing it passionately because that's your job and you're doing a service for your community. When all of those things kind of come together, that's when I think that people can find their truest God's work, I guess, if you will. So they're happy, and it's pleasing to the universe in other ways, and everybody has their own unique contribution.
Well, that is, I think it's a great answer, and I think it's also a great segue into what we do every show at 12:30 is we call a worldwide healing circle. And believe it or not, we can all send that energy through the airwaves. We're all breathing the same air, so we're able to really connect. It really works. And usually what we do is we read a lot of names of people who have asked to be put in the healing circle. And today what I want to do is I want to do the names and the vibration and the energy of everyone that's listening and everyone that needs assistance. And I want to put that all into the airwaves through music, past words today. And so for our healing circle, I'm going to put on one of Dave's new tunes on his new CD, and it's called It's Always Been You, and it makes my heart soar and crack open and soar a little more whenever I hear it. And I've had the privilege of being able to listen to it constantly for about 6 weeks. And so that's what we're going to do, and I want everyone to know that after the healing circle, we are going to open the phones. We're going to continue the dialogue with Dave. We will be having our toll-free number, 866-275-1112. You can call from anywhere in the U.S. And then our number on the island, as usual, 826-7771. So get ready with your questions, and we're going to have everyone now pull their energy in to the center of their hearts and feel all the love that you have for everyone in your life, and feel all the love coming back to you from everyone who loves you. And we'll pull all that energy into a circle. We'll stand side by side, and we'll send all that energy, and we'll dedicate the music that we're going to play to everyone who wants additional support and more aloha, the breath of life. We can all breathe on behalf of those who are in a struggle. We can breathe our willingness, our love affair with life into those people who are in a challenging moment. So we'll see you in a minute. And here we go. Aloha, everyone. This is Coming Alive with Camille and Rick and special guest Dave Cause, beautiful, wonderful, fabulous jazz saxophonist.
And composer.
That beautiful tune you just heard, which just makes me cry, is from Dave's new CD, Hello Tomorrow, and it's called It's Always Been You. And when I heard that song, I felt that it was directly linked to the voice of God. It just opened me up in such an amazing way. And, you know, we have Dave here with us today, and it's awakening the soul. Music takes you where words cannot. And he's been sharing with us for the first half of the show a lot of his awarenesses and where life has taken him. And literally, I'm going to say the sax was a gift from God that gave him a voice that he couldn't put words on and has fueled his soul. And I love everything that you've shared with us so far, Dave. I want people to be able to call in now, unless they're so enthralled with what's happening that they just want to listen to your voice and your music, which is fine with me. But we do have the possibility here today, everyone, to really get support for your own creative endeavors, for your own healing journey, and have another in guided soul besides Rick and myself, although we're willing to participate, and ask questions and be part of what we're doing here at KKCR. This is what we're about. We're about community involvement, and we're about supporting everyone to have their needs met and wherever they are in their lives. And Rick and I come to you, as you know, as teachers and visionary channels and medical intuitives. And today we have a whole flavor of a teacher and a guide and a visionary who brings so much of his total self into his work and into all the other endeavors in his life. So the number is to call to connect with Dave, 866-275-1112. That's toll free. And on the island, 826-7771. You can also click in and be listening to us on the internet. If you know somebody right now, call them and say, hey, check this out right now. There is something very unique and special happening today with Dave Cause. And so until people cross the line and call us up, we'll just continue with Dave.
Well, I think maybe you meant to give the website in there, kkcr.org, for listening online. Just click Listen Live Now.
I would like to say, too, that the theme of this show is it's a timely one, because I know you guys must talk about this from time to time, about how complex and chaotic and fear-based our world is, and it feels like the more that it becomes that way, the more important art is. And it doesn't have to be commercially released art. We're talking about an album, whatever, but I'm just talking about bringing art and love, more of that into the world, and people can do that in their own unique way on a very small level, too. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be on these grand levels. That's the point that I really want to make, is that can you imagine a world without music? Music, especially for me, is a hot button issue. And the reason that I love the power of music and how I use it in my own life too, with my favorite artists, is because it can stir the soul in a way that as you mentioned, words can't. And also, the person, the recipient, doesn't even have to be aware. That's the power of music, is that his or her mind could be somewhere completely different, and yet music still can access a part of somebody's soul and do its work, whether they know it or not. And art is the same way, all facets of art. So I think as the forces of our world jockey for dominance, that as fear and lot of the harsh realities, hate that we've been seeing especially, and misunderstanding, that putting more art and beauty into the world is going to be of paramount importance and a real necessity. And everybody can do it in their own way. It doesn't have to be a professional thing or something that you need to do. And it doesn't even have to be good. It just has to be put into the world, because that's adding instead of taking away.
Yeah. I was just feeling, when you said everybody has an art, I was feeling the most beautiful art that we could foster with each of us would be the art of friendship.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is what we're fostering by having you on the show and you being so generous of being with us, just from having met us on the island and staying connected. Something was given birth to that everybody gets to be part of today, and that's pretty exciting.
Well, that's the beauty of divine choreography, to term again.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. You're good with words. I wonder where that came from.
I borrowed that one.
Oh,
believe me. I didn't come up with that one.
Well, that's okay. Divine choreography. We can all steal that one. You know, that brings up a question. We still do have room for people to call us up. We're going to have Gabi coming on. Actually, I should say this. Where Shift Happens, as usual, at 1 o'clock, another wonderful show. We just segue from one great thing to another all day on Sundays. But here's my question. How has your fame and the public responsibility that you have, how has that impacted your spiritual life?
That's another good question.
I know, I'm full of them.
That's good.
I have one other one. You can take your pick.
I feel like I'm this is part therapy session for me, too, so thank you, Camille.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait,
how much do I owe you guys?
Let me tell you the other question that you can choose between. My next question was, what do you do when life sucks?
All right, another good one, too.
Okay,
well, let me
go.
Take the first one.
Okay, go ahead.
There's a certain responsibility that comes with being a quote, public figure. I'm definitely, I think of it as a great responsibility and also a great joy and privilege to be able to play the saxophone and to make music and to have a schedule where I'm out touring and traveling and meeting people. And sometimes it does take a toll, you know, because it's tiring and it's the travel. I mean, somebody said to me a long time ago, it's always remain true for me. It's like when you go out on tour, the 2 hours that you're on stage, you do that for free. Your fee is for the other 22 hours of the day. And it's so true, you know. It's the lumpy pillows in the hotel and the buses and the vans and the airplane and the security and all that stuff. That can get a little tiring. But I do take time for myself. I just came back from about a three-week break where I really took that time to unplug and have a little bit of time for myself and do the things that I want to do. And I think it is about balance and making sure that as much as you're giving and putting out, which I do, and I love to do it, and I never even think twice about it, just to make sure to take care of myself, and that is to take in some stuff so I have more to give out. So it's balance. And, yeah, there's times when this disappointments every which way. I mean, you could look at my life and go, wow, he's had a pretty charmed life. And I think, you know, for the most part, I have. But there's been tons of disappointments every step of the way. You have to have thick skin, and you have to not take it personally, and you have to just kind of roll with it. And that's what this experience of this album, Hello Tomorrow, has taught me, which is it's about embracing everything. So even if you have a real sucky day, okay, taking it in. This day sucks, but I'm going to take it in and embrace it for what it can inform me about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really am particularly appreciating that. I'm 55 this year, and my theme for the year is embrace and allow. It's simply about just accepting what is, and when we drop our resistance to that and embrace it and just allow it to be okay, it brings us a whole new gift and a whole new awareness. So I'm right there with you. I also wanted to ask you, before we get to, well, you kind of incorporated the life when life gets sucky part there, but also you said something else that cued me in. I know you have some charity projects that you work with, and maybe you'd like to tell our audience about some of those things and why they're important to you.
Yeah, thank you. I've worked for almost 20 years with the Starlight Children's Foundation, which is an organization that helps kids who are in the hospital for long periods of time. They could be burn victims or cancer victims, leukemia, what have you. Kids that are, have to be in hospitals for long periods of time, mm-hmm. and their families, because it's not just the kid whose life is impacted, it's the family as well. And Starlight really has a bunch of fantastic programs for in the hospital and outside of the hospital to brighten the lives of these kids and their families. And I've just worked with them for a lot of years as kind of a global ambassador, just raising awareness for them. And people who are interested in finding out about the organization can visit starlight.org. And I'm proud to say that if you are near a Whole Foods in Hawaii or in Arizona or California or Nevada, you can find a wine that it's called Kaz, K-O-Z, Kaz Wine. And myself, together with Whole Foods and our winemaker in Napa Valley, company called Venum Cellars. We created three varietals of wines that are sold in Whole Foods, and you can purchase those and know that all the proceeds from the sale of that wine go to Starlight Children's Foundation. So I like to say, awesome. You know, drink for the kids.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you.
I don't think we're allowed to say that, but yeah. It's too late.
It's live radio, isn't it?
It is. Wow. Hey, you know, our listeners, they just must be so totally intrigued, because I don't know where you guys are. Doesn't anybody have any questions? I mean, I have lots of questions. But, are you there, you guys?
I just want to say once again, the theme for today's show with our special guest, Dave Kaz, internationally loved saxophonist and composer. Our theme is Awakening the Soul. Music takes you where words can't.
But it's okay if you call and ask us to talk to you. That part's okay. And we just have about 7 minutes left, before we have to release Dave out into the wilds of the world of music in L.A. and all the people that are going to get to enjoy his new work. And it's just so amazing to me what can happen when we open our hearts. And to bring an awareness of that we are all on something called a spiritual journey, and to bring it to the forefront of our consciousness, to me, it's a whole new kind of coming out of the closet. And it's a spiritual coming out of the closet. It's a celebration. And I don't think people need to be shy anymore about whatever it is that floats their boat and gets them through the day and makes them know that there's something bigger than themselves that's supporting life and gives us hope. And I just feel that that's a real, real, real exciting thing. And I just want to tell everybody, go ahead, go for it. Dave's going for it. That beautiful song that he had at the beginning of the show, that I just love the words. I'm going to say them correctly. Yes, my life is better left to chance. I could have missed the pain, but I would have missed the dance. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. We do have a caller. Sometimes they just like to sit and talk to Rick, but let's see if they want to come on the air. And, nope, it's one of those chatty people. He has his own show sometimes over on. So, Dave, it's just you and me.
That's quite all right.
And, so what else comes for you in terms of your this new place inside of you that is getting deeper and hearing the call on a deeper level. What else do you want to say, or what comes for you?
I kind of really think that what you just said, which is kind of coming out of the closet, which has a kind of double entendre for me, but I think for all of us in terms of recognizing that we are on a particular path, it can really inform our whole lives no matter what we do, and make our journeys while we're here a lot more palatable, a lot better, a lot richer. And it's interesting that it's not, for me, it's really not a religious experience. It's more of a personal experience of trusting. And one of the things that I know I need to work on a lot more is trusting my gut and turning down the dialogue that exists in my mind. We all have it. We all have that loud voice in our heads that is pretty much says things to ourselves that we would never say to anybody else. And so that's one of the things that I'm working on right now, which is to dial that back a little bit and turn that thing down and start to listen for some of the more faint whispers that are constantly giving us clues, call it intuition or gut or whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. but those are things that we should be listening for, because those are the answers.
Mm-hmm.
All the answers are inside of us, and it's from my own personal journey, it's about trusting in that.
Yeah, and there's ways to learn to turn the volume up on the internal guidance, and there's a feeling, actually, a physical feeling that's different between your worry and the, you know, paranoia or whatever, you know, it feels like it's having an opinion, other voices that you're carrying in you from your history, from how you were brought up, versus the one that's coming from such a calm, clear place. That is a very distinct difference. And I think one of the greatest things to do is to work on coming into that quiet place so that that volume can go up higher. And eventually you'll know exactly when you're in the center, exactly when that voice is connected to a deep source. And do we have another person that called you and just wanted to chat?
Well,
holy moly.
Our listening audience has been calling to confirm that you were correct, Camille. Indeed, everybody's just mesmerized and enjoying the show so much and enjoying what Dave has to say so much. And we've just been getting an outpouring of gratitude and blessing. So thank you. Thank you, Dave, so much.
So you're not really having your own show over there.
No.
You're just leaving us on our own.
No, not today.
Well, that's wild. So we have people that do not want to hear themselves on the air asking questions. You did good work, Dave. I don't know. Maybe you should just move to Kauai.
Well, that actually, you don't have to twist my arm too much, actually.
Okay.
You know I'm very jealous of the fact that you're there right now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
well,
good.
Yeah.
That's good. Jealousy's good.
We have a couch you're welcome to anytime.
It's long.
Yeah. I love that place. Yeah.
Well, you know, I did, because I was answering calls, I did miss some of what was said. But I just wanted to make a comment about the name of your new album, Hello Tomorrow, is so hopeful and looking forward and, you know, looking to the good side of things and making positive things happen. And I just love that.
Well, I think that we, you know, I live in a very dense city, Los Angeles, California. It's a lot different than Kauai, I'll tell you that much. And there's so much crap here, and so much negativity, and so much duality. And so I just wanted to put some counter-programming message out there. And it's not really all that sexy of a message, if you will, you know, and it's not hot topics and stuff, mm-hmm. but you know what I'm trying to say is that it doesn't sound all that interesting to a lot of people, something that's nice and hopeful, and which is too bad, unfortunately, but still, that's who I am right now. I think this album is a 100% reflection of where I'm at right now in my life, which something positive out there into the world, because there needs to be a balance of a little bit of that, so people can use it as a piece of their own puzzle on their own path to enlightenment, as opposed to all of just the crap that's being spewed, with all due respect.
Yeah, with all due respect.
With all the respect for all the crap.
Because, I mean, hey, crap serves its purpose,
yeah, it
too,
does.
You know? It's all good. Everything is good. Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't crap, what would we have to wake up from?
Right.
Aha.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Exactly. So
We do have to wrap it up, because Gabby's coming on, and she's going to come whooshing in here. And
For shift happens.
And so where we are now is the last song that we're going to play today is so, it's so amazing, because it segues right from what Dave was just saying, which is, it's titled What We Leave Behind. Is that right?
That's it.
What We Leave Behind. And so if we leave behind everything that isn't us anymore, if we're willing to drop the walls between ourselves and others and just keep walking one step in front of the other and living the life that we want to live out loud, drop everything that doesn't work, drop that fear, those angers, those jealousies, the things that are holding you back, and just say, aha, I'm just going to be this essence I can feel inside of myself, like this beautiful rose that's sitting in front of me right now on the soundboard that Cameron brought in. That is the essence. And here we are. And we want to thank Dave so much.
Yes, thank you.
Dave Cause, Far Out. Here we are. We did a great little gig here. And we're going to go out with a beautiful tune.
And I also wanted to say this tune is from his new album, Hello Tomorrow.
Bye, Dave.
It's great talking with you guys. Thank you and love you both.
Bye, sweetie.
Blessings.
Bye.